Well, John, it was reported last year that Super Rugby would have a very different look in 2018. Two teams from South Africa would no longer be part of the competition, two teams from Australia. South Africa last week came out and confirmed this. We will no longer see the Cheetahs or the Kings playing in Super Rugby. Those two franchises are going to look for opportunities in Europe. How detrimental is this to Super Rugby, and what are some of the consequences perhaps for South African rugby as a whole?
Well, they're huge, and they come from a whole lot of different directions. First off, as a background, just to let the listeners understand, for these young men that are playing in these franchises, it's not like New Zealand where there's a benefit. South Africa is not like that. If you have a child in South Africa, you might get something like $15 a month child support. You talk about young men losing their jobs, losing their livelihood. And yes, they might be young and able to study, and they might have some exposure from playing. But this is a major effect on people's lives, because you're basically kicking them into touch in the cold and saying to them, be off with you. Which, to their credit, the South African Rugby Union hasn't done, and they have actively campaigned for them to go to the Pro 12. Now, should they do that, it then means that the Cheetahs and the Kings have a different source of income outside of the SANZAAR deal, which means their revenue streams are not necessarily through the South African Rugby Union, and they are not coming cap in hand every year to the rugby union and receiving their share of the TV monies that come out of the SANZAAR deal. What that does then to the dynamic of control of South African rugby, well, who knows? It may well be like throwing a grenade among the pigeons when it comes to South African rugby's machinations. And we know that that's a scenario that, well, it throws up decisions that are just ludicrous when it comes to leadership. On the other hand, the potential effect on SANZAAR and on the Super Rugby system could be profound. And there is talk in South Africa that post the next World Cup in Japan, that we may see a revolution that is as large as we saw in 1995 when professionalism came into the game. And you may go as far as SANZAAR ceasing to exist when it comes to 2020. And South Africa may take all its teams and compete in Europe. And if that happens, I do not know how we in New Zealand are going to be able to sustain the financial model that we currently have. For without South Africa's input and TV money, because the largest audience for Super Rugby is based in South Africa, I don't know how it's going to be possible to pay the wages that we pay in New Zealand for our players.
Yeah, John, just on that though, I mean, I think if you look at Super Rugby, I mean, you sort of mentioned it, a lot of people believe that possibly the product life cycle is coming to an end anyway. Yeah. I mean, if the interest continues to wane, if people are not tuning up, if people are now not watching it because of the geographical layout of this, the time differences, the conference system, surely the money's not going to be there in the long term anyway.
Yes, well, this is the issue. Have they destroyed Super Rugby by poor decisions? Because at the core of this issue is decisions were made going back to 4 or 5 years ago when they decided to adjust the system. And they took decisions that weren't based around what is best for rugby. They took decisions that were based around how to reduce costs. And this is what I firmly believe, and this is what has been hidden from us. We were told that we were told what we wanted. We were told that research was done and people wanted more local derbies. Well, at the time I was living in South Africa, and I can tell you that's a load of garbage. You know, nobody wanted to see the Bulls play the Sharks a seventh time, right? So in the year, it's just getting ridiculous. So what they did instead is they set out to reduce costs. That's the real reason. And by adding more local derbies, they reduced the amount of travel and they reduced the amount of hotel days. And that's how they cut their costs down. So by doing that and not focusing on quality and not being prepared to take tough decisions, like, for instance, saying if we're going to increases competition by a number of teams, we're going to have promotion relegation, and we're going to allow the cream to rise to the top. We have this situation now where, look at the Australian, I mean, everything is pivoting at the moment around the Australians because they can't get their act together and they can't get one team to leave. South Africa is having to do two. Now, when you look at the Kings, who are about to be booted into touch, the Kings have won six games prior to this weekend, have won six games in the competition. That is more than the Brumbies have won this season, and they are the top team in Australia and are going to be playing in the quarterfinals. The Kings have beaten the Bulls at Loftus. The Kings have beaten the Waratahs in Sydney, right? The Waratahs are an absolute rebel, and they won the competition. They won the Super Rugby 3 years ago, right? So where is the justification for saying the Kings are so? The Kings didn't exist in Super Rugby before two seasons ago, and look at how far they've come. Everybody thought they'd be easy beats and just get pummeled the whole year. They have six wins, including their first wins against South African opposition, including wins in Australia. They are on an upward curve and they're being booted. Every single Australian franchise is going down the gurgler, not just the Force and the Rebels. Every single one of them is hopeless at the moment. And yet we're booting out, to me, the most important franchise in Southern Hemisphere rugby, so far as the future is concerned, which is the Kings, which is the core area in South Africa of non-white rugby participation, where the people absolutely love their rugby, and where you see so many exciting players and so many former Springboks come out of that area, including players like Osterrand, come from that area, including players like Mark Andrews, including players like Anton Foss, who was a former Springbok captain. So, yeah, there's a sea change coming, and you may well find that SANZAAR ceases to exist come 2020. And there may be a global season, which is effectively going to start happening, because if the Cheetahs and the Kings start playing in the Pro 12, their season kicks off in September, and it's a done deal at the moment. They will start playing in the Pro 12 in September, and their league will then start. And we may wind up finding that instead of this Northern Hemisphere aligning to us, which was what would make sense, we may wind up finding that what happens is that the Southern Hemisphere aligns with the Northern Hemisphere, and rugby becomes, professionally at least, a summer game.
Just finally, John, there was an article in the Herald by Wynne Gray this week possibly suggesting too that there could be a reprieve for one of the Australian teams because possibly the Sharks out of Durban, your hometown, could end up following the same path as the Kings and the Cheetahs. Now, you, like me, have done a little bit of research and we can't really sort of find any further information on this. So let's just say that there is some truth to this rumour. Again, what impact would this have on South African rugby, and how big would this be for South African rugby, and would it basically be the death knell for Super Rugby?
Well, that would be enormous. We're talking about a foundational team when it comes to the Super Rugby tournament. We're talking about a team that back 20 years ago, when the tournament was starting, was thumping the Highlanders by 70 points. And had an individual scoring 50 points on their own. That was Gavin Lawless, I think. Yes, Gavin Lawless, who scored 50 points at Kings Park against the Highlanders, probably in 97, 98. You're talking about a team who probably as recently ago as 10 years ago was, outside of the international teams like the All Blacks, was probably the most valuable marketing franchise in the world. The Sharks brand was probably the most valuable provincial or franchise brand in world rugby. And they would be heading north and no longer dependent on income via SANZAAR, via the South African Rugby Union. And they would be taking their TV markets and their viewers to another competition. The effect would be profound on SANZAAR. And here, it gets really interesting because Wingray kind of alludes in that article that he's had a leak that's been mentioned to him, and there's no other talk and nothing that I hear from my contacts in South Africa about that being a reality. But what is a reality from what I hear in South Africa is that you may find that SANZAAR completely ceases to exist, as I mentioned, from 2020. Whatever the, whatever's coming, there's a revolution coming. And it's been accelerated by terrible, terrible decisions from the people who lead rugby in the Southern Hemisphere. They have taken shocking decisions. And my question that I'd like to ask is, who is going to front up and take responsibility for these poor decisions?